the intro.
Hello. Hello. And welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I am your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. In today's lesson, we're actually going to go through another guided exercise like we just did. This one's a little bit different. Before, it was overcoming any serious urge, and this is actually an exercise that you can pocket. I will guide you through it to overcome any serious goof-up. You've made any tiny goof-up, any serious goof-up, any major mistake. It works for them all. It's pretty dang cool. And it's based on the premise that pretty much everybody is better off if they have a caring and supportive friend. They are. Ideally, we all have friends and family and neighbors who treat us in this way within arm's reach. Sometimes, nobody is there when we feel like it would benefit us most. Sometimes, it feels like nobody is there for us at all, ever. Sometimes it feels that way. However, when we feel isolated and alone and would benefit greatly from the care and support of another trusting and genuine person, there is, indeed, always a person nearby worth depending on. That person is you. If you step back and think about it on purpose and with purpose in mind, if a person ever feels like they could use a wise and caring friend, it is often best for that person that they start by acting as a wise and caring friend for themselves. I even keep the wise old man with me now. I keep him with me now. And the wise old man has provided me with more wisdom than you could ever imagine. Do you know why that's the case? Because the person who knows you best is you. And when I look over and ask the wise old man for his sage advice, which happens quite often, and he answers, it's really just me. It's really just me activating the more rational and wisdom parts of my brain. Often, the wise old man's responses are the same responses I'd give to any other person that's feeling off or down in the dumps or isolated and feels like they keep making mistakes. So the first step in befriending yourself is, instead of thinking in circles, ruminating in all the negativity, to determine what your current SRO cycle is, your stimulus, your response, and your outcome. So for the stimulus, what is working me up? I really goofed up and I want help, but I feel alone. Okay. What is the response to that stimulus? What am I doing about it at this very moment? Well, I'm standing at my desk, worrying about how I goofed up. Well, what is the outcome? What is the outcome to that response? How is that working out for you? How is that working out for me? Turns out, it's paralyzing me. I have a hard time doing anything, and the only things I feel like doing I know are bad for me. So right now it's working out poorly. And that is helping to work me up even more. Okay. So the next step here is to be rationally and deliberately tolerant of yourself and to be acutely observant of your feelings and how they relate to the stress you're feeling. Maybe a bit different than what you think. Feelings in the SRO model, they consist of emotions and sensations. Okay. This means that you have a state of mind and a state of body. And so when you discuss feelings in the context of the SRO model, it is encompassing a state of mind and a state of body at the same time. For example, when you're in pain, okay, you could say to yourself out loud, there's a lot of worry. And it's right in my guts. There's a lot of worry and it's right in my guts. So in that context, you are describing an emotion and a sensation, okay? Feeling worry right here, right? And even though this is happening and it's hard for me to feel this way, I know I can still do the right thing and do what's best for me. So think about it this way. Think about the person you care about most. Imagine, for a moment, that person was in severe pain, great angst, maybe even despair. The person you care about most in severe pain. How would you speak to them? How? Forget about what you would say. Forget about what you would say. How would you say it? Would you speak harshly or mechanically? Or speak as if you were annoyed or mad at them? Well, is that how you speak to yourself when you're feeling dark? And you made a big mistake? Do you treat yourself that way, harshly and mechanically, and as if you were annoyed and mad? This person you care about most is in severe pain, great angst, and bordering despair. You'd probably take it seriously, yes, and that seriousness would come out in your voice as a sincere form of deep caringness. Still serious, though. A slightly lower voice, slightly quieter, warmer and gentler than normal, maybe. Do you immediately judge them as people in their entirety? Or do you take your effort and focus it directly on their condition, their attitude, their state of mind? So, as you quietly speak to yourself during times like this, take care to speak to yourself on purpose and with this purpose in mind. In the same way that you would to a person you care about most, as if they were in pain. When you are in pain, you could say to yourself out loud, right, when you made a big gnarly mistake, it's hard for me to feel this way, and even though this is happening, I know I can still do the right thing by doing what's best for me. Now take the next step, okay? Think about a person you care about most, right? Think about them despairing, in a despairing state of mind, having ugly black thoughts. Maybe similar to the thoughts that you have when you make a big mistake, feeling pretty down and isolated. How would you go about touching them? The person you care about most, that's despairing and having black thoughts. How would you touch them? Think about it hard. How would you physically provide them with comfort and reassurance in a way that matches how you would speak to them to accomplish the same thing? Now take one of your hands and turn its palm upwards. And remember what it's like to touch somebody with kindness and caring during those times in their lives. You've probably done it before. You've probably consoled somebody in pain. How did you touch them? You've probably used this hand to touch other people in that same way. Maybe you use it to pat a friend on the shoulder, or to hold a baby, or to hug somebody, or even to stroke an animal, or to massage somebody in pain. So try to fill your hand with that same serious sense of sincerity and depth of caring. Really, do it. So you can, in a moment, concentrate that feeling into your hand and transfer that feeling back into yourself. So in a moment, I'll invite you to take this hand and put it in a place where you'll get the greatest transfers of that deep caringness and support. For many people, this is over the heart, or over the belly, okay, or over the shoulder. This is where I go, over the shoulder. Alternatively, if you have pain somewhere in your body, like physical pain in your body right now, it might do you better to rest your hand there. You'd be amazed at the impact this has on your nervous system in areas of pain. This is legitimate, okay? So now take this hand and fill it seriously with the deep levels of caringness and lay it gently on your body, okay? If it feels a bit weird and you're wondering where to put it, that's okay. Go right for the top of your heart, if you're wondering where, and try different pressures with the palm and the fingers. Some people find a firm pressure is best, okay? Others prefer a soft or gentle touch. Some people like it softer with the palm and further with the tips of the fingers, okay? And others prefer it moving in circles or in the direction of the muscles. Your aim is to send a serious message to yourself. With this hand, it's a message of support and caring. The same exact hand you'd place on the person you care about most when they're in pain. Communicating the exact same thing. Communicating that I see you're in trouble. I care about you. I'm right here, and it's okay. When you take how they feel so serious, because you do take how that person feels so serious, and you genuinely transfer that deep level of caringness into yourself, you can finally feel like legitimately what it's like to be your own friend. Because it's transferring right from that same deep caring from your hand back into your body. So by cultivating a deeper sense of caring and understanding for yourself, you'll make it far easier to do what's right, and you will be better at taking care of and showing up for the people and responsibilities you do care about. If it's difficult to block or push away black or disturbing thoughts or feelings as you do this exercise, that's okay. That is normal. That's the way she goes. So take the time to audit your thinking and your feeling and your urging as you complete this circuit between your hand and the rest of your body. And after you take a moment of doing that, push your feet into the ground and take a really nice stretch and gather your bearings with your environment. And then silently say to yourself, now silently say to yourself in that same voice, filled with a deep and earnest caringness, everyone has difficult thoughts and difficult feelings and difficult urges, and that's okay. That's the way she goes. And I can still do what's best for me. Notice what it is like to give a damn about yourself in a deep and caring and genuine way. So this exercise may have seemed a bit strange or funny. And remember, when you befriend yourself, everyone in your life benefits. Because the kinder or more caring and supportive you are of yourself, the more energy and motivation you will have to show up for the people and responsibilities you do care about. Thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out!